the scripture today, and is the theme of the speaker this morning, is in Ephesians chapter 2. It's about God's grace. So starting at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
We're about to hear from someone that's very near and dear to you.
That's for sure.
Seema, if you could come on up front. You know, I was thinking this morning, and in fact, I mentioned it to my wife. A few weeks ago, I spoke to you from the book of Acts, when Philip, under the anointing of God, was moved from where he was to go intersect a eunuch traveling on the road. God picked him up from one place and moved him to another, and by the grace of God, the same God that did that to the eunuch and for the eunuch with Philip, he has brought Seema to you, to us, from the other side of the world. So today is a divine appointment of God. This morning, how about if we pray for our sister Seema, as she brings to us the message that God has burned into her heart for this time. Father, we thank you for our sister, and Lord, we thank you for the work that you've been doing in her life throughout all of her life. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that she's come to understand for herself and walks out day by day. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that she is to your people throughout the world and for the opportunity we have today to hear your truth, your message through this humble vessel. Lord, we pray your anointing to be upon her and upon the words that she speaks, but even more than that, Lord, upon our ears and our hearts, that, Lord, we might hear what you are speaking, not simply to your church, but to us, that we might embrace it and receive it in such a way that we act it out. Lord, the truth that it carries, may it transform us, we pray, in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for this opportunity and for this precious time. And also, thank you that you gave me this time in this day that is prayer for international persecuted churches. And I am hoping that today I can give you a reason that not only pray for them, but rejoice with them. Because in persecution, churches grow. And praise the Lord that that has happened in Iran. I doubt that anybody here not know where Iran is, but just in case, the Iran used to be called Persia, the land of Cyrus, the land of Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and currently is called Iran. I was born in late 50s in the other side of the globe, in Iran, in a Muslim family. And my family were very young, and they didn't practice Islam. But when I was 9, and in Islam, for a girl, 9 is considered as adult. So when I was adult, and I was 9 years old, I started to think about basic questions of life. Where we came from? Where are we going? And who am I? Why I'm here? And all these questions that I didn't have answer for. And of course, I went to my grandma, and she didn't know anything but Islam, of course. And she taught me about Allah. And she told me that Allah is the creator. And she told me how to fast, how to pray, and how to try to follow his rules and be a good Muslim. I did. I did my best. And you know what? They say that Islam is a very complete religion, that's true, because every move that you make, there's a law for it. So I was trying to do that, and I was trying to be a good girl and in every stage of my life. But as time passed, none of my questions was answered properly till I went to medical school. When I went to medical school, one of the subjects that fascinated me was anatomy. When I went to that department, we had cadavers that we dissect, and I was fascinated by that. When we dissected the cadavers, I said, wow, we are wonderfully made. That's amazing. This cannot be accident. There is a God, there is a creator, and I have to get to know him. But how? And so I made it my goal to become a better Muslim. Then in the middle of medical school, I got married, and I got pregnant, and then the revolution happened. If you know the history of Iran, because Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini, was exiled by Shah, by the last Shah of Iran, to France. He sent flyers to all the cities, and he actually created this revolution. And we had 2,500 years of kingdom. And the last king was outcasted, actually, by Khomeini. And I decided to follow Khomeini. And then when it was demonstration and everything, every morning, I went and washed myself. And you know, there's a prayer that you pray. And just in case, if on the street you are killed, you'll be martyred. So I did that prayer, and I really wanted to die for Creator, for Allah. And I thought that was the way that I could get hold of him. So then the revolution happened, and during revolution, our school was closed, and Shah's soldier came to our classes, shot our classmates. They were it's a beyond words situation. That it was really hard, and it was sad, and all those things finished. Shah left, and we said, oh, it's good. Now is Islamic Republic. So after a while, Hezbollah took over, and then the country became Islamic, and I finished my school. Doctors in Iran, after they finish school, they have to go to rural areas to serve for 5 years at least, and that was mandatory. So we went to Isfahan, and I went to a small town around Isfahan to serve. And during that time, actually before a revolution, my mom and my younger sister left Iran, and they migrated to England. And after my mom didn't know English at all, and the only thing that she took was Quran, and was my little sister, and some money to buy a house. That was it. And every day she stayed home and she studied Quran. And one day she said, she was reading Quran and said, oh, here it says that Muhammad is Rasulullah, is the God's prophet, but Jesus is Ruhullah, is Spirit of God. Which one is closer to God, the Spirit of God or Prophet of God? So that was an aha moment for my mom. I said, oh, now I know that Jesus is very important, but it's the Spirit of God. So she started to find out about Jesus, and it is a long, long story. Like John says, if I tell, write everything that Jesus did, the world cannot contain. So if I stay here 6-4 hours, 6-7 hours, it's still short for telling what Jesus has done. But making the long story short, my mom got saved through so many miracles, my sister too, and my mom started to write me a letter that she became Christian. I was not only Muslim and a strict Muslim, but I was from descendant of Muhammad. I was Sayyid. And when I got that letter that my mom was trying to reach me, you know, to tell me about Jesus, I said, oh my Lord, all the problems now I have is one side, and this is the icing on top of the cake that my mom didn't have anything better to do except than changing her religion. And so I said, Mom, don't talk to me. I'm just ashamed. And so for a few years, I didn't talk or didn't communicate with my mom. And but there was a church in front of our house in Tehran that before we left to Isfahan, that I saw that people come out of church on Sundays. They are happy. And with all the effort that I did to become closer to Allah, I didn't have that happiness. And I said, okay, I go and find out what is all about. And they gave me tracts. I brought the tracts home, I read it, and as soon as I saw to the point that Jesus rose people from death, I said, oh my goodness, this is really crazy. Because I have worked in anatomy department. I know these people don't rise, and nobody can rise them. So I just tore it up and left. But anyway, after we left to Isfahan, my youngest sister that was in England, she was about to get married. She sent me a letter, that letter of invitation, and at the end, she said, Jesus loves you. You know, by then, I had developed so much problem, depression, family problems. You know, I had angina because of so much stress that I had in my life. I had a tumor on my right foot that actually numbed my right foot. And I had infections that doctors couldn't treat. And all of those problems that I had, and my second child was about to be born, and with all those problems, I said, well, if he loves me, definitely he doesn't do a good job in showing it, because all these problems are piling up. And so, but I accepted that he is seeing my problems. So it was very hard for me to get the permission to get out of country because I hadn't done my 5-year service. It was a couple of years or something. And then without any hope, I went to health administration, local health administration, and the officer gave me permission. I said, yes. And I just packed and went to Tehran and got tickets and everything with my two kids and my husband, and then my father came to say goodbye. All of us in a snowy day, very much traffic, we went to Tehran. And Tehran is one of the cities that is so crowded and traffic is so bad. So we went to the airport, and the airport, they announced my name that I cannot leave the country because I didn't have permission from the central office. And I didn't have exit, you know, visa and all that. So it was, again, so many miracles that happened. I just don't know how much I have to cut. But I make it short that as soon as we found out, my dad knew of a place that we could stay with my kids that was vacant. And we back then, there was no cell phone. Nobody could contact anybody, you know, and there was just landline. So we stayed there, and my dad and my husband went to get permit and change the ticket and all those things, because we knew that we couldn't go to London that day. Ironically, in the vacant apartment, the phone was working long distance, and I could call my mom, and I said, Mom, we cannot come today. She said, don't worry. I call my friends, we pray, and God's willing, you will be here. I said, you can pray as much as you want and as hard as you want and with whoever you want, but it's not going to work because you don't know what situation we are in. It is really tough, and they don't let me come up. And so she said, okay, and then I was crying and crying. And again, through so many miracles, God coordinated that my husband could get permit that actually it was supposed to take 3 weeks. But the same day he got the permit, and my dad couldn't return the tickets. So we all come back, and God coordinated us to go to the airport. And again, they didn't let me go because I didn't have exit visa. So the last place that I had to go and give my, you know, documents, and the officer looked at it, and my dad, of course, was supposed to take care of my son outside the office. And the officer told me that, it seems that you haven't done your 5 years. And after all these, it was like this person was realizing that I couldn't leave the country. But my dad from nowhere jumped in and said, Seema, your son is lost. And the guy felt bad and stamped it and gave it to me. And I went out and my son was there. My dad couldn't see him. And so I went I got that too. And I said, our flight is passed, because our flight was 12 o'clock. It was already passed. And now what are we going to do? And my husband went to check the luggage and everything. And they told us that British Airways for the first time had 2 hours delay. So we went to London with the same flight, the same day, after all these. And as soon as we got there, my mom started to talk about Jesus. And I said, Mom, I go to hotel if you talk about Jesus. And so that night, my mom asked my daughter to stay with her in her room. And she told her Jesus' story. And so my daughter actually was 5 years old and gave her life to Jesus. And they started to pray for me together. So then the next day, I started to talk to my mom, like mother and daughter. I hadn't seen her for so many years. I said, Mom, you know, I have this problem, that problem, you know, this and that. And I was crying, and she said, Seema, I can't really help you, but I know somebody that can help you. I said, who? She said, Jesus. And then we sat down, and she held my hand, and for the first time, we prayed, and I heard praying and talking to God in my mother language, in Farsi. And that touched my heart so much that my mom was praying and I was crying. And I said, I was informing God that I was a Muslim. And I said, Lord, you know that I am Muslim. And in Islam, if I say Jesus is Son of God, that's a blasphemy. But these people, including my mom, these Christian people, are saying the only way to heaven is through believing Jesus is Son of God. Which one is from you? Those cannot be from one God. I was praying and I said, Lord, I know that you are there. I know, I believe in you, but I am confused now. If they are right and if Jesus is alive, please show me with my belief, with the way that I understand it. One day I was invited to church and I didn't know English. The pastor was speaking about Holy Spirit. But I was praying to myself in Farsi, and all of a sudden, I felt God's presence in that church. And my heart that was so depressed and so tight, and I was so sad. And all of a sudden, all of that changed, and became my heart became open and happy, and peace came over me. And during that service, I saw so many miracles, including two visions. One vision was for the first time I saw that in invisible world there is a warfare. I didn't believe in that before. It was like a curtain opened, and I saw that the good and evil had warfare. Actually, you know, that became real to me. And then the second vision was about a ballroom dance, and the bride and groom were dancing, and I was the groom. I was the bride, and that I didn't know anything about how Jesus described himself as bride, as groom in the Bible. But after that, when I heard that, I realized that God had accepted me. And so that night when I went home, All my problems were gone. I had allergy to metal was gone. I had the infection, the heart pain, even the tumor was gone. And that night, God healed me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And actually, he answered my prayer and talked to me by my understanding that if I'm a physician, he is the head of the physicians. And he just, through healing, talked to my heart that he is alive. Then I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you all my life. And if you are on AM, I don't want to be on FM. I just want to hear you all the time. 4 months I was in London, and all I did, I was reading Bible. I finished the New Testament, and if I had a question, if I had to take 3 buses to go to the other side of London to ask my question from the pastor, I did it. I mean, I just was so thirsty, like a dry land that found the cold water. And books were my friends. I mean, I loved books. I had read religion books, novels, medical books, any kind that you can imagine. But I read them. But this book could read me. That was the difference. And I just loved that he showed me that I was not holy, but God was. And the only thing that I could see in the reading that, I saw that he's holy and I can measure up. And it was just reading it, making like a cold water that washing my heart. And that continued till now. And so after that, the last week that we were there, I decided to be baptized. And everybody said it's going to be dangerous to go back to Iran, and because in Quran says if you are Muslim and you convert to any faith, anybody can kill you without any punishment. So that was dangerous, and of course my husband was very mad and kept asking me to deny my faith. And the night before my baptism, he said, if we go to Iran and anything happens, your Jesus has to fix it. And otherwise, you know, and he started to beat me up, and he said, I'm not going to take you to to be baptized. The next day, actually, he drove us to the church, but he didn't come in. He said, I stay outside, and you go do whatever you want. We went to the church, and in the middle of service, he was in the back row. And then when it was my turn, because we were 12 people to be baptized, when it was my turn, he was in front row taking pictures. But then when we went to Iran, actually it was very dangerous, because back then, and now the same, they have underground churches. And there are so many churches that they are actually like a museum, historical, but they are not active. But the active churches actually are underground. They are not buildings, you know. So in our town, maybe there were 40 people that they had the same faith as I did. The whole Iran back then was maybe 30 million people. And out of that, 1,000 people were saved. But through persecution and closed doors, that now even missionary in revolution time, missionaries left Iran, and the borders are closed and all that. But with all that, now that is about 70, 80 million people, millions are saved. And through satellites, through radios, God is using even persecution to grow the churches. And we went back. I found this church, and I found these people, and we actually lived like a first century church. For 3 years, we just lived in each other's houses. We ate together. We had open house to each other. I mean, it was amazing. And like we had Tuesdays, 2x2, we went to the streets and to the shops to give gospel to people. And sometimes even the taxi driver said, oh, I have already have that, you know. So it was amazing time of evangelism. But after 3 years, then back then I had finished my 5 years I came to Isfahan. I opened my own office, but I had to work in government as well. So I was working in health, in the Department of Health and Human Services, that the missionaries had already left. So I took their place to go to the centers of blind or deaf or, you know, different centers to see their patients. So I was working in both of them. And one day my boss, that was a mullah, asked me to go to his office and said, Seema, I have heard that you're a Christian. I said, yes. And he said, okay, tell me what is the difference between the blood of Hussein and the blood of Jesus. And you know, in Islam, Hussein is the second imam that died in a war with 72 people, I mean, altogether 72 people of family and friends. And for Allah, they died. And he is considered as the symbol of martyrdom, you know, is very, very much, you know, important. So he said, what is the difference? I said, Jesus was not a martyr. He gave his life, intentionally, and he's the only person that had a pure life that he could give his blood for our sins. But Imam Hussein, with all respect, was a human. So that was our conversation, and then done. And one day on my way to my office, I was kidnapped. And again, long story short, I was put in jail. In the jail, it was very scary. And then what happened, I saw God's presence so clear, like I see you here. It was obvious to me that nothing would happen to me. And even he gave me opportunity to give the gospel to my interrogators. And when they let me go, they again arrested me another time. And this third time that they were supposed to come, and actually they told me that my penalty, punishment is death. And it was, my name was on the blacklist. I just packed my two suitcases and my two kids, and in front of my house there was somebody in the car watching, and my phone was tapped. And so the whole city was like a prison for me, because I was a woman, I couldn't drive between the cities, you know. And then the soldiers were on the roads because of the war between Iran and Iraq. And so there was no way, and the airports were all closed. And they were supposed to come and arrest me at 2 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, a cargo, actually a war cargo, was coming from south of Iran to going toward Tehran, and went out of gas in Isfahan and had emergency stop. And the manager of the airport called us, was one of our patients, called us that if you come here immediately, I can send you to Tehran. So God provided a way that we went to Tehran. We stayed there. It was the day that Saddam Hussein sent missiles to Tehran. Tehran was evacuated. And it was one after another. And finally, I stayed in a safer place with my grandma. And then when we went from Tehran to United Arab Emirates, 10 months stayed there, then 5 months in Italy, and then we came to Oklahoma, and lots of stories in between. And praise the Lord, in last 30 years that I have been here, he hasn't stopped being faithful. He hasn't stopped doing miracles day by day. And the kids that I prayed once that they wanted to kill me, I said, Lord, I'm not ready to die for you yet. I want to raise my kids, but I don't want to betray you either. But that God not only let me to raise my kids, they went to the best colleges, best universities in the world, and they graduated without any loan. And they have, they both of them are writers and are advocates for people that they had the same situation with us. like us. So I am just, I can't thank God enough. And the icing on the cake was my beloved husband.
So let's thank Seema for sharing her testimony with us. I